The following podcast is brought to you by the stationofthecross.com. Thank you for listening.
You get down on your knees and you're just there. And just by putting yourself in that posture, you begin to realize I'm in the presence of God, and something happens to you, some change happens to you that isn't intellectual. It's something that's coming from more deep within the whole person.
Whatever we do in life, whether we're working or an invalid or we're little kids, we want to bring as many with us as we can.
Yes.
That's our goal in life.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that we might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, it is that time of year again. People are going back to school, sort of, one way or the other. What is learning going to look like this semester, this fall season, during the season of COVID time? Our returning guest is an expert guest. He's director of the Cardinal Newman Society's K-12 program, and he's the founder and now principal again of a Catholic K-12 classical school in Ave Maria, Florida, the Donahue Academy. Dr. Daniel Guernsey, welcome back to the Catholic Current.
Thank you, Father. Good to be with you again.
Dr. Guernsey, I imagine that you're more informed than just about anybody I can think of about what all the different options have been leading up to the fall term. And I imagine there's a whole spectrum of in-person, not in-person, some hybrid, and then the whole range of are you in a hazmat suit or something less. What have you heard? What's going on out there in the academic world this fall in America?
Well, I can talk to you a little bit from my own experience first, because it's my opinionated position. I'm a big proponent of in-person education, and so we are back in session here in Florida, and we are now starting week three. So we're all day every day. Students and faculty are here. I think it's a great way to go about things, and we can talk about that going forward. Some schools are doing what we're doing is our diocese asked us to have in-person education available 5 days a week, and then they also asked us to put in an online live version available to the students who wanted to stay at home, who didn't feel comfortable coming back. So we're actually running a simultaneous virtual attendance in the school. What we have now is we're broadcasting our we're currently in session right now. It's during this call, and so the teachers are teaching. They're all masked up. They're all 3 feet or more apart, and then we have cameras going in the room if there are students at that grade level who are currently home today. I would say about just over half of the grade levels have students who are at home. So we're doing that. The interesting dynamic with that we found is while we started with about 15% of our population, we have about 300 students in the school, about 15% of the population started off trying to learn from home, more than half have already come back.
Interesting.
And that's to be expected. A couple of things I think needed to happen is, one, people needed to get comfortable with the idea that school was going to be open. For those who are a little bit more nervous about health issues, they wanted to see what was the school going to be doing, and were they serious about it? And then I think the other experience is the children watched their friends learning. You just feel left out when you're watching something from home on a computer and you see the kids laughing and learning, and you're not part of it, and you see your friends talking together. That's a really difficult situation. Again, we're going to keep coming back, I think, into this conversation to what is the human experience? What's the human being wired for as far as learning and social development? And mm-hmm. we are definitely wired for community, and we're wired for each other. We're not wired to be wired online.
No, exactly.
That's not it. So that's kind of our initial experience is what's happening in our local public schools here is they also gave the option for kids to show up online or in person, and they just started mm-hmm. yesterday in here, and they said their numbers are about 40% of their population are going online. So that's much higher than ours. In fact, they bought every kid in our county gets a brand new computer, so lots of money is being spent on this. So that's what's happening in Florida. I've heard other locations which are completely online, which I think is very unfortunate. And then I've heard of some school systems that are going like one day on, one day off, and trying to do, you know, have less people in the building so that they. And so they put half the kids online and then rotate them through. That, to me, seems like a very problematic model. It seems like you get the worst of everything and the best of nothing on that one.
Friends, our guest today is Dr. Daniel Guernsey. He's director of the Cardinal Newman Society K-12 program, and he's principal of the Donahue Academy in Ave Maria, Florida. Dr. Guernsey, I want to go back to the public schools in your area. Their numbers starting off for kids who are staying home and working online, it was much, much higher than yours is now. Do you predict that their online numbers will drop as kids see other kids interacting and not dying, or do you think there's some other kind of dynamic going on?
I think they will definitely drop, but I do also think there are other dynamics going on. I think on the positive side, what some I'm not accusing all public schools of being dysfunctional. We happen to have a highly functioning Catholic community here. But mm-hmm. in schools that are not functioning at a high level, there can be a lot of pain and suffering and wasted time and political agendas mm-hmm. and strife that the online world can slice through some of the ideology and wasted time by kind of dehumanizing or unpersonalizing or depersonalizing education. And if there's an education that's happening that is harmful to the person, then you do kind of want it sanitized a little bit more
right.
colder, distant, right. not deeply relational, because you can't trust the people they're in relationship with. And so in a way, it provides a
right.
distance from a toxic, unhealthy education environment. So for that case, it's actually a positive for some people. But if you have an authentically deeply rich human community that's working together,
mm-hmm.
the flip side of it, that's a very powerful means of formation that children
right.
and families long for, and so they are willing mm-hmm. to take risks and make tremendous
right.
sacrifices to get their children into that environment. And I think that's what, thanks be to God, that's what we're experiencing here, is that our families and children are so happy to be back that they're putting up with incredibly burdensome things that we've thrown on them. We're in a mask. Our diocese requires us all to wear masks, and that's an incredibly difficult burden to bear.
Sure.
But to be with each other,
sure.
it's with it, right? If the only way you could be
right.
with your grandma's birthday party was with a mask, you put a mask on to be with grandma.
Right. We are social creatures. You know, we're social creatures. That is certainly the way that God made us. And I think you'd agree, Doctor, that lots of things have gone wrong first if people say, you know, it's better that we stay apart. So lots of things have gone wrong that way. From a practical point of view, you know, I have to wear a mask from time to time when I'm giving at Holy Communion, etc. And in those few minutes, rile me physically, emotionally, politically, just across the spectrum. How do you manage a 6 or 7 or 8 year old with a mask? That's beyond my comprehension.
Well, yeah, we always try to. It's not easy. I would we do try to make sure that we are always interfacing them with them as the 5 year old or 7 year old human being they are, who is not made to be in a mask. But mm-hmm. who also needs to learn, you know, discipline. So, you know, thanks be to God. What we have practical measures, we have lots and lots of extra masks. We received a great number of donations. So every time kids, I at lunch today, right, I was picking up the trash and I picked up a kid's mask and threw it away. So that's my mask. I said, don't worry, I got 500 more of them sitting over here. So part of it is the human thing is they forget, and you don't yell at them. You don't make them feel bad. You say, oh, honey, I'm with you.
Right.
We do allow the littlest kids to wear face screens instead of masks, and I do think face screens are
okay.
better. And again, that's all done by policy set outside of myself. But I think most people prefer the face screens. So what we do with that, and we give them lots and lots of mask breaks. So what I spend as a principal a good hour a day doing is fixing tents. So what I've done is I surround my building, we're in Florida, with tarps and poles and tents. So we have shaded area all over the property to get the kids outside. So we still do safe music, but you don't want to sing in a mask, so we got to get them where they're six feet outside. So I've got six or seven tents, and then, of course, we get the big thunderstorms that come up in the afternoons here in Florida, then blow all the tents down, and then I run out there and I reset them up again. And,
God bless you.
But it's what you do for the kids because you love them, and you say they've got to get those masks. It's not good for them to be in them too long. So that's what we do that, and we look for lots of excuses to get them outside. And the other thing we do is, even with a high school, because we're a K-12, we do a lot. I've given the teachers to spend less academic time, especially at the beginning. So we're playing a lot more games outside. We're playing spike ball. We're playing kickball. We're playing four square. We're getting the kids out there socializing because it's so miserable to be in a mask for more than 35, 40 minutes that they look forward to.
I agree. Oh, that gladdens my heart. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Daniel Guernsey. We're talking about what learning will look like in this fall semester. In the next segment, we're going to look at what are the merits and limits of online learning. I'm sure it's a conversation you'll want to hear. Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so. We do it for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. A reminder, my new book, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, is now available online at your local Catholic bookstore. Check it out. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests.
It's the church that, admittedly, is filled with so many sinners. In fact, everyone who enters it is sure to be one. But upon entrance, he becomes a child of God, a member of God's family, the church, founded by Christ, and equipped by him with all the necessary help to make sinners into saints.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert Matej from the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. Stay connected with the show and other hot topics by following the show on Twitter with the handle @CatholicCurrent.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. For most people in most places in the United States, the academic year has begun. We're talking about what learning might look like this fall. Our returning expert guest is Dr. Daniel Guernsey. Dr. Guernsey, in this segment, I want to talk about the merits and limits of online learning. I don't know what the past 6 months would have looked like if we had a lockdown without the internet. I think that would have been catastrophic. So, happy fault, we do have the internet. There are online learning options. There are some people who think that this is the silver bullet, this is our salvation. There are other people who say, like it or not, this is the future. You've studied these things much more closely than I have. I have my own opinion as an educator. What's the upside and the downside of online learning?
Again, I believe it's mostly downside. The upside is that in a crisis, right, it does allow you to do something. It would be as if my wife and I had to be separated. Better that we would have cell phones and FaceTime than not. But to say that the future of our marriage is going to be now on FaceTime and cell phones would be a catastrophic mistake. So again, I think as what we're seeing happening around us are these absolutely massive changes in understanding of human relationships and even our relationship with God, right? As we find out now that only 8% of Catholics are going to church. The whole notion of community and church is changing around us. And so I think those who are looking to technology as the Savior, our Savior is in Christ, and Christ saves us as the human beings He made us to be, and
yes.
He made us to be in community. And the fundamental
yes.
crisis of this age is this Gnostic approach to reality that disassociates me from community and from my body so that I can fall into my own will, which doesn't work. So again, the idea with education is human formation, and humans are formed and nurtured in community, right? And ideally, it
right.
starts with the family. That's the way, you know, nature intends it. But again, the family itself is, the church tells us, is an imperfect community. It needs to belong to the community of the church because salvation
yes.
comes through Christ and His church. So there's this relationship between individual and family and church and community, which absolutely is essential for our well-being, that we lose to a degree if we go online. Now, there is an online community, of course, and you're still in community with people online, but I would argue that's not the way the human person developed over you know, millennia and eons. So,
right.
And the other thing is just the school itself is an education. Just being in school, it's a mode of education
yes.
to be with other people and walk and rub elbows with them and have to make eye contact and have to deal with people you don't like and have to follow directions you don't want and have to listen to a bell and respond to that and wait to go to the bathroom and learn your patience over here. And all of that stuff is part of building the strength to be in strong communities. So again, all this is put at risk, you know, when you look at distance education on that form, on that level. But the other thing that's happening, right, with this generation in particular, is that they're living their lives already excessively online.
Yes.
So you can say, well, it's no problem. It's what they're doing already. It's like, but what they're doing already isn't good for them.
Right.
It's not bringing them joy and happiness. We're just piling on, thinking it's okay because it's what we're already doing. That's not.
Right.
That's a real mistake in seeing that.
Absolutely.
So when we're dealing with kids who are, the answer to the crisis of the age is not more technology and more distance, right? It's more intimacy with each other and with reality and with God. We've got to run in the other direction and to look glibly like, oh, okay, we can just, you know, cut some corners and save some time and get rid of some grief and follow our own schedules and do our own thing by being online. It's like, that's a temptation. It's not all wrong, but it doesn't match the virtue and the humanity of being together and fighting and loving each other side by side.
Friends, our expert guest today is Dr. Daniel Guernsey. He's principal of the Donahue Academy, a classical K-12 Catholic school in Ave Maria, Florida. You know, Dr. Guernsey, as someone who spent a lot of time in campus as both a student and as a professor, one of the benefits of being on campus is to be within the middle of a learning community and the spontaneous, unplanned conversations that take place, where if you're on a Zoom schedule or you're just watching pre-recorded lectures, there is no access to that. I want to look a little bit up at the shadow side of online learning. There was a stir a week or so ago, and I had a guest talk about it. Some teachers in the public school systems were putting out on their social media, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to teach with parents listening in? How are we going to disabuse the students of their traditional moral values with the parents listening in? I found that rather appalling. There's also been some cases where a teacher was looking into the background of a young man's room and saw that he had a BB gun, and she swatted him and called the police and said he'd brought a gun to school. Talk a little bit about that darker side of online learning.
We need to be with each other. There are less different type of challenges that happen when we're working things out, you know, hand to hand and in each other's physical presence, right? We don't say things to each other that we might say online or do online. It's a lesser way of being. So yeah, as far as the having the parents watch in, again, there should be no secrets with what the school is teaching, and so again,
right.
There should be syllabi and all of that available. But on the flip side of that, where there, I think there is some legitimate concern, is that if you have a lurking parent who's already out to get a teacher who they may not like, and they can say, aha, I was watching their class, and I saw a student asleep, and I saw a kid throw a piece of paper, and they didn't do anything, you know.
Right.
So there's all that type of stuff that can happen well, because the classrooms are an intensely human place of failure, experimentation, and kind of almost sacrosanct. It's a community, you know, so there's that part to be to pay attention to as well. But again, there should be no secrets from the parents. But I think, you know, again, with the idea of the dark side of working online is that it can allow a student to think that they can take shortcuts, that they can just very quickly switch tasks and Google things and listen to music and pull on this piece over here. And I can find a technological shortcut for something, rather than doing the hard work of having somebody looking at you right now in real time and saying, produce, respond, what do you think, right? I'm a teacher, right? So I was teaching yesterday, and the freshman, you know, boy who's also in coverall, I don't know, let's go a little further, right? I can prod him and get him out, because his initial response is, I don't know, I don't want to do this, and hide, whereas in person we can do that. And I think also they can think if they're really good at technology, they must be smart, right? You know, Cardinal Newman would have been the first one to say, right? You're not smart because you can do technology really fast, and you can, you know, and peer edit papers and do all this other stuff. Speed and utility and shallowness and depersonalization are not what we're trying to accomplish, but they're all tailor-made for the student who might be able just to say, well, I'm going to sit here in my pajamas and game the system. And again, we're not trying, and technology can lead to that, right? I'll put in my time, I'll do my unit, click, click, click. I can get through 6 lessons today. I know I'm 7 behind, but I can get through 6, and then I can watch Netflix in the back. That's the temptation of the online world, which when my, you know, like I said, I'm surrounded by students right now, and they don't have technology with them. They're sitting around in classrooms hammering out very important topics in math, history, science, theology. And that's, I think, a more robust and challenging way to learn than doing everything on your own.
Right. And I think, too, that it extends their attention span, because you get to focus on one task for a particular amount of time, and you're held accountable for that discipline. You know, when I was teaching full-time, Dr. Guernsey, and students said, oh Father, I take better notes with my laptop, and I'd hand them a piece of paper. Oh, Father, what's that? That's your learning contract. If you have a computer in my classroom, you have to email your notes before you leave the classroom. And then nobody wanted the laptop after that. What might a reasonable man at, well, there we go. That's your participation trophy for coming on the show today. What about hybrid learning, Dr. Guernsey? Are there some school districts that, you know, the young person is in class one day a week, 2 days a week, the rest is at home online, and then eventually they want to go to a higher proportion of in-person learning? What's your take on the hybrid approach?
I think as much in-person as you can get is fine. But again, even like we do in-person education here, but we also use technology in our teaching, of course, and in the students' learning and work, right? We use what are called learning management systems, and the kids research online. And it's not that they're not doing technology. It's that useful or the most important thing is their attention, right? How do you get their attention? How do you increase their attention? How do you help them learn to focus? That's where the magic is, and the technology, you know, if they have technology in front of them in a classroom, again, they will tend to do other things with it. My son, who just started Avamere University here, had mentioned that none of his teachers allow technology in the class, which I'm happy for that. We don't allow technology in the class in our school. Right, they're to be looking at a text or something in front of them, or the whole class is using technology to look and respond to the same thing. They're not going off in their own worlds because you can't compete. You can't compete against the internet or the boyfriend or the silly cat falling off the couch. You know, I got nothing.
No, I understand. I there are students who apparently assume that I went blind whenever I stood at a podium. So and after opening prayer, we had phone drills. You had to take your phone out, turn it off, and put it under your chair. And there were people who were really indignant. So yes, it's a tool. Yes, it has its place. But the younger and less disciplined you are, the more closely that you have to supervise it as well. What about online homework? Is there a place for that online research, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely, right? That's no question about that. I do a lot of research and writing, and almost everything I do is online for almost all of my writing. So yes, absolutely. But especially in the K-12 environment, right? It's and even in the undergraduate environment. I think when you get to graduate school again, there's a whole nother level of independence there. But to pretend that our kids are independent thinkers is not true, and to think that they're going to become independent thinkers by hanging out online is also not true. They're going to become independent thinkers by developing their mind and by watching other independent thinkers. And again, this goes back to why in-person education is superior, right? The kids need to see an adult, without getting too gross here, right? To touch, to smell, to taste, right? That adult's experience in encountering that discipline. They need to be with a scientist and watch that scientist work. They need to be in the same room in the presence of that mathematician with that whiteboard, watching them think in real time, listening to them, listening to their rate of breathing.
The role models in real life are indispensable. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Daniel Guernsey. We're talking about what learning will look like during the season of COVID-tide. In the next segment, we're going to talk about advice to parents and students. It's a conversation you don't want to miss. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources, download our audio as podcast, write a review, help us get the attention of the algorithm. We need to have this program better known. You can help. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
My name is Jesse Romero. I'm a retired Los Angeles cop. I'm a Catholic lay evangelist. You probably hear me Monday through Friday at the Terry and Jesse Show. My new show on spiritual warfare is called Jesus 911. Every Saturday at noon. That's a Soul Patrol Catholic program where three cops on fire with our Catholic faith. You can hear this program around the world on the iCatholic Radio app. Jesus 911, Saturdays at noon here on the Station of the Cross Radio Catholic Network. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is the Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. Want to catch up on a past episode or share them with a friend? Find podcasted episodes wherever you enjoy listening, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. We're talking about what schooling might look like during the COVID interruption. Our returning expert guest is Dr. Daniel Guernsey. He's director of the Cardinal Newman Society's K-12 programs, and he's the principal of the Donahue Academy in Ave Maria, Florida. Dr. Guernsey, in this segment, I want to talk about advice to parents and students. And, you know, my teaching was all done at the university level, and I happened upon something yesterday. It's from Zero Hedge, and we're gonna link to this on our Twitter page and at our resources list. And it's just a catalog. Restrictions, one college after another, that if you're on campus, you're going to be tracked. There's going to be secret hotlines so that you can be denounced by people unknown for having your mask fall beneath your nose. You're eating alone. Even if you're on campus, you're not allowed to leave campus. You can't have, on and on it goes. And parents are complaining that the kids feel like they're in some kind of prison planet, or they fell through a time warp and now they're in North Korea. What's going on here, and how bad is this?
As one of the prison guards, or maybe the warden, right? It's important to be aware of these dynamics because they are a source of potential abuse. So I think it's important that I feel like the jerk I am when I have to go around the school after this interview, right, and stop the kid in the hallway, or just remind them, hey, put your mask up, or walk into the classroom, hey, you know, those desks have kind of drifted to the close, let's put them together, or I just came from lunch, right? Where it's like, well, I need to kind of have you at three people to a table rather than the normal six. So
right.
Those are all reasonable things to do, but the mm-hmm. kids very reasonably say, well, we don't want to do that. We would prefer to sit together with five of us at a table or four of us at a table. So it's mm-hmm. important that they fight. The fight's too strong a word. It's important that they not get too comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that I also know that I feel bad about doing this. So in a way, it's like
right.
making the best of a difficult situation where we're each asking people to do things that we would rather not do. But for us, this was the price for admission because our diocese or our state said, if you're going to mm-hmm. open, you have to do these things. And I always told the students, if I had to kneel on broken glass, I would kneel on broken glass. I'll put on six masks because
mm-hmm.
we need to be together. Right,
mm-hmm.
So it's this dance that we have to do, but by realizing honestly that we're in a terrible situation. But if you get into that, yeah, I'm just the Nazi and I'm going to go, you know, get my jollies by controlling you or making you feel bad because you're not wearing a mask or something happened, that won't work. And then there's these multiple levels of justice that we have to balance, right? Because
I
tell the students, I said, I told the nervous parents or the kids who have grandma living at home who's at risk, I told them that we would do our best to wear the masks, and we would do our best to
mm-hmm.
stay 4 feet apart. And so we have to at least try. I can't blow it off out of justice.
Right.
So those are so it's this balance, but you can definitely get into these abusive areas. So I basically personally try to look at, okay, what's the minimum I can do to keep the kids safe? And I'm gonna do that where there's easy stuff to do, like lots of cleaning. We do a lot of cleaning here. That's a no harm, no foul, right?
We'll just sure.
do a lot of, you know. But the masks and the distancing are very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God too. We shouldn't be canceling sports. These kids need sports. They absolutely have to play. It's absolutely critical to their health and emotional and physical and spiritual well-being. So
mm-hmm.
thank goodness in Florida we've got sports back. I guess, again, sports are voluntary. So if they don't
mm-hmm.
want to take the risk, they don't have to. But to tell somebody they can't take the risk and play football, because, again, if they're playing football, they could die of a broken neck or heat stroke, much more
right.
likely than getting sick from COVID. We lose athletes all the time to death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, we have to make it voluntary. So that's the important thing as we're going through is let's keep the bulk of people safe, reasonable, but then give
mm-hmm.
voluntary activities for the risk and health that we all need to do. But we should not make people feel bad about being human.
Dr. Guernsey, I have never been an academic administrator, which for me is the sixth proof of the existence of God. It shows God's mercy to me and to others. What's going through the mind of, you know, if you've got, you know, you've got a chancellor of desperate state university, and he doesn't like this. He doesn't have an elan for acting like he's the president of North Korea, but it's just one layer after. What's is it? Desperate fear of a lawsuit? What's going on? What's driving this? I've gone through this list in Zero, just dozens of colleges. Each is more restrictive and invasive than the next. Is it a cultural thing or is it a fear of litigation?
I think it's a cultural thing. I think it goes back to the virtue signaling, right? The idea of I'm going to prove if the public school and the public school teachers love the kids and they're keeping them all 6 feet apart. We love our kids more in a Catholic school, so we're going to go 7 feet apart. Since they love their kids and they wear masks, we're going to wear a mask and a face shield and goggles, and that proves that we love our kids more, right? So there's this idea of the more I do, the more I'm signaling that I care about your kids and I'm serious about this.
Right.
And I think that's where you get caught in a trap. So again, a lot of conversations, a lot of discussing why do we do it this way when it's frustrating
mm-hmm.
To folks. So I don't think the lawsuits are as much. It's the court of public opinion, and
okay.
you know, and the nervous Nellies can really be a downer, like when you get the call. Like I'm worried
mm-hmm.
right now. Like let's say one of my kids gets sick and brings it home, and a grandma gets infected, and then that would be tragic, right? And I don't
mm-hmm.
want to be
mm-hmm.
a part of that. I want to be able to say, hey, listen, if grandma got sick on my watch, it wasn't because I blew off the masks. It wasn't
right.
because I told the kids they could sit wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to do my best without trying to be perfect, because you can't be perfect. You're going to be inhuman, and it's going to drive the kids away.
It's
not going to make them healthier. And maybe not this stuff, we don't know, but it's under these terms of justice, this is what we need to do. But I think what we don't want to do is we don't want to be the guy, if something goes wrong, to say, yeah, I didn't take it seriously.
Right. Friends, we're talking with Dr. Daniel Guernsey. He's principal of the Donahue Academy, a classical and Catholic K-12 school in Ave Maria, Florida. Doctor, for people who have younger kids, high school kids or younger than that, they're trying to make the best of it. We're all pretty much in uncharted territory, and there may even be some parents who are homeschooling for the first time based on a last-minute decision. What's your advice for first of all, for keeping people sane, and secondly, for keeping people learning? Use both sides of the paper if necessary.
No advice on the first one. Good luck, everybody. On the second one, learn from our expert homeschoolers. All right, homeschooling is a well-developed, well-tried-and-true mode of education. So learn from it. Find the really good homeschooling groups that are out there, and become ensconced in them. Become a part of that community. It's important to distinguish between homeschooling and online schooling. Homeschooling, in my estimation, would involve a very involved parent who is the teacher. So it's not that the kid doesn't have a teacher. The kid's watching mom, dad, or the neighbor teach.
Right.
And the other thing is often homeschools will form co-ops and bring in a teacher so that the students can get that experience of being in a small classroom environment. So I think really good homeschooling, that is the answer. But we don't want parents to, especially new parents, to think that distance education is homeschooling. Sitting your kid in front of a computer is not homeschooling.
Right.
Something much more. And those homeschooling moms and dads and families are awesome. So let's go look for your local group and join their support groups and join their activities and get those kids learning and homeschooling. It's a great, great opportunity.
So for homeschooling, then there's no half measures. If you're really going to do homeschooling, you really do have to be all the way in. And for a lot of different reasons, people might discern that's just not for our family. Okay, I can understand people can make that discernment. I've never had to make it, so I reserve judgment on that. And for the folks who are saying, look, my kid's at home most days. This is causing a lot of stresses. I want to be a contributing parent. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I want to be a help, not a hindrance. What advice do you have for those parents?
I would instead of being involved in every subject, pick one of the humanities that you feel comfortable with, history, literature, and engage with your child on that level. I think the sciences and the mathematics are perhaps a little bit more conducive to online study. If you can manage the technical aspects, but really trying to get them deep into a work of literature. And that involves conversation that you can have with your child, and then you can read a book with your child, and that might be a little bit more manageable than trying to coordinate your entire child's educational program. So pick one or two subjects and just say, I'm gonna read the same books as you on this, and let's talk about it. And then that might help bridge that gap. And then get your kid off of the computer. If they're on the computer all day studying, then the trade-off is, then that shouldn't be your mode for relaxation. Your relaxation should now be cooking, music, cleaning, athletics, bike riding, walking the dog, learning a new trade or skill, fixing the car.
Right.
So get them off that, because they're online. Continuing online is just not good for them. Again, at the end result, we're trying to get them into reality, online can help with that, but it can also distance them from that. But we really want them into really thinking about the concrete as much as possible.
Right. I think somehow there has to be some reminder that there is no substitute for being able to think for yourself, to function on your own. The kid's old enough, teach him how to change change the oil on your car. Teach him how to iron a shirt properly. That's a pretty rare skill. Or even how to balance a checkbook. I think that would be a wonderful thing as well. How do you emphasize the social dimension for kids who are at home predominantly and doing online school? You don't want to leave social development to chance. How do you make that happen?
Yeah, I think, and just as a side, you know, it kind of caught me as you know, for some, yeah, that we want to make sure that we're finding the networks of families, you know, and I know there's concern about extending the networks too broad because of exposure to COVID, if that's a concern among some. But again, mm-hmm. I would go back to looking at what the homeschoolers have done well, and mm-hmm. and connecting with them and saying, what are the social activities? A lot of athletic groups now, like our school, allows homeschoolers to participate. So you can mm-hmm. You may be surprised that your student is still allowed to participate on a sport. And again, even if they're doing online education, again, most schools allow students to. It sounds a little counterintuitive, but you can online educate and then be in person on athletics. You know,
interesting.
So, you know, if you're not scared of COVID, transfer in athletics, and you're doing it for other reasons, then that's another possibility. Getting outside is important. Oh, good.
Well, Dr. Guernsey, I'm delighted to hear that you're off to such a good start at the Donahue Academy. I know they're heroically generous people supporting you. I'm very grateful that you've been a very fine guest once again, and I hope we can have you on the show again soon.
Thank you, Father.
This is Jesuit Father Robert McTagg, your host here at the Catholic Current. Stay with us in the next segment. It's just you and me reflecting on the conversation we had with Dr. Dan Guernsey. I've been an educator and a student for nearly all of my life. I have things to say, and I dare say that you may want to hear about it. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Follow what we're following by following us on Twitter, at Catholic Current. Be part of the conversation, and we will make available to you that link from Zero Hedge, that litany of dystopian horrors taking places at college. I'd like you to contribute to that conversation also. A gentle reminder that my new book, Real Philosophy for Real People, Tools for Truthful Living, is now available. You can get it online or ideally in person at your local Catholic bookstore. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download your order as podcast. Bring this conversation to your family and friends, and together we'll take it around the world. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us. This is Jesuit Father Robert McTagg. Like the Catholic Current, Divine Mercy in My Soul is another program that originates from the Station of the Cross. If you enjoy listening to the Catholic Current, consider tuning in to Divine Mercy in My Soul to learn about the message Jesus revealed to St. Faustina, Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern and Tuesday nights at 8, or listen anytime to Divine Mercy in My Soul on the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
You're listening to The Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. After the broadcast, go to the Catholic Current show page on thestationofthecross.com. Then click on today's episode for the list of Father Matteig's show resources referenced during the program.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTagg of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. We're talking about what the future of learning might look like during the season of COVID-tide, a season that I hope is drawing to an end very soon. Our guest for the first portion of the show was Dr. Daniel Guernsey, a returning guest. He's with the Cardinal Newman Society, and he's principal of the Donahue Academy, a classical Catholic K-12 school in Ave Maria, Florida. In this segment, it's just you and me reflecting on what we heard in the conversation and sharing with you my own thoughts about the matter and a few others. Here's my takeaway from my conversation with Dr. Guernsey. Education is indispensable for everyone. We're all meant to be lifelong learners. We're also all meant to be social. And because we're intelligent, we can make good choices, if we're careful, on what are the best tools, what are the limited tools, and what are the avoidable tools that we all need in order to further our education. You know, years ago, when I was a little boy, my parents, in good faith, like very many good parents of the day, they dropped me off at school, and that was the end of it. I was in the hands of the experts. And if that faith was ever justified, I'm not sure that it's justified right now. And now we're living in the time of the COVID interruption. School had the plug pulled on it of back in March. The school year is starting up again, and you've got a whole mix. Some kids are in school, some kids are doing hybrid learning, some kids are doing everything online. Some young folks in good faith have gone back to the university campuses and found it to be some sort of Klingon prison planet. What are we to make of all this? Well, there's a number of takeaways. If you're the parents of minor children, you have to acknowledge that, for better or worse, like it or not, you are meant to be the primary educator of your children. And your children are going to learn a great deal from what you do and also from what you don't do. Think on that for a moment. No matter what type of schooling arrangement you've made for your children, every schooling arrangement really has to be secondary to what you do at home. There are people who have admitted to me that they've let their home become the place of entertainment and consumption and sleep for their children. Really, it has to be the place of human formation above all. Children have to learn what it means to be a human living with other humans, and they do that at home. They need to learn good manners. They need to learn good social skills. They need to learn the benefits of being a lifelong learner. They have to develop a passion for reading and discovery and creation. No matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, no matter what your own background is, no matter what your abilities or limitations are, what I've just listed are all things that your children need from you and your home. Avail yourself of the resources that are available to you so that you can perform this great and worthy task. The society needs you to do this. The church needs you to do this as well. If you're already in school and you're struggling because things are odd and things are weird, yes, I know. And this too will pass. This too will pass. It is just a season. And you have to work together with your parents, with your friends, with your teachers, with your peers to find out a way to form communities of learning that you can continue learning and growing regardless of the circumstances that you're in. I think if you treat this with a sense of adventure rather than a sense of inconvenience, it'll make life a lot easier. I talk with Dr. Guernsey about the steps being taken at his school, the Donahue Academy, with masks and hand washing and distancing and so on. And he's made decisions, and he's made a decision to cooperate with his superiors in the diocese and so on. Rightly so. Here's my concern. A lot of people have a lot invested in exploiting the COVID crisis for their own ends. And that's true of people across the political spectrum. I'm speaking not as someone with political interest. I don't have any. I'm speaking as a citizen, of course, but I'm speaking as a Jesuit priest and a scholar who knows more than a little something about human nature and human history. The COVID crisis is a crisis that's being exploited. There are people who are seeking to benefit from your suffering and from your fear. And so they're going to tell you limited truths, half-truths, and untruths. You have to find reliable sources of information. You have to do your homework. Don't be satisfied with just the headlines. This is important. Panic won't help you. This is a time for you to get together with family and friends and share your resources. You can't read every headline, you can't investigate every footnote, but work together as a community, work together as a parish to find out the truth. I am confident that some people acted in good faith, and I'm confident that a whole lot of people committed crimes of lies for their own purposes. If we had a little bit more time, I would do a riff on one of the reasons why we get so crazy during the time of an election is we've let our political system have access to entirely too much power and too much wealth. And that's why the scrambles for that power and wealth are so ugly and so vicious. And we need to have a much longer conversation as citizens and as friends of the Lord to say, what are we going to do to dial back the power and wealth that politicians have access to? And I'll urge you to discover a saint who deserves to be no better, a Jesuit Saint, Claude de la Colombière. What a gentle, lovely soul he was, and also a man of great strength and heroism. And I want to leave you with this paragraph that he wrote. He says this, "May the heart of Jesus Christ be our school. Let us make our abode there. Let us study its movements and attempt to conform ourselves to them. Yes, O divine Jesus, I want to live there. God is in the midst of us, or rather we are in the midst of him. Wherever we are, he sees us and touches us, at prayer, at work, at table, at recreation." So says St. Claude de la Colombière. And I'll add to that the quote of St. Augustine said, "God is nearer to us than we are to ourselves." In this time of confusion, anxiety, this time of stress and distress, it can feel like somehow God has left the building, or God's on vacation, or God is distracted. That is absolutely not true. And it seems that maybe God's grace isn't accessible to us. But St. Ignatius Loyola says that the graces necessary for salvation are always, always, always available to those who ask for them. Friends, we have to pray together, and we have to work together, and we have to encourage each other. Let's carry each other all across the finish line. Let's make sure that we leave no one left wounded on the battlefield. That's simply not what soldiers of Christ do. We have an obligation to encourage each other, to help each other to be happy warriors. It is something that we can certainly do together. This is Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, here at the Catholic Current. You can listen to us on the Station of the Cross Network and the iCatholic Radio app. I ask that you join me tomorrow when we welcome back Dr. Kent Lesnowski of the Wyoming Catholic College. We'll be talking about finding great books, an essential question as we're doing more and more of our education on our own. There are resources available to Catholics that can be life-changing, that can be formative, informative, and transformative. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Everything you need to keep the conversation going, everything you need to bring it to your family and friends, we make available to you. And then we need to take this conversation out to the rest of the world. It is something that we can certainly do together. We certainly cannot do it without you. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by thestationofthecross.com, a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.